Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, and let me just read. There were some other little ancillary comments that I had fully intended to make. I'm not doing it because I'm not playing with myself. It ain't even got nothing to do with y'all. I'm not playing with me today. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, I want to begin at verse 1, and I want to read through. I'm just going to read, all right? And then we'll stop when we need to stop, and then we'll move forward. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, did I skip something? Nope, I think I'm right. Verse 9, then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. I think that's sufficient for our reading on this morning. I want to talk about, again, restoring God's order. It is, again, as I have said, our 12th year anniversary. Glory to God. And it's a significant anniversary. One of the reasons why it's significant is because of the number 12. Certain numbers in the Bible have special meaning. They're more than just ritual occurrences. 12 is such a number, and in the Bible is representative of government and order. Teaching and preaching this actually didn't come to me quite so easily. Over the past few weeks, I've been praying, seeking direction and about some things for our church and about my personal life. I began to lament in how I had slacked in my personal pursuit of excellence in many things, not the least of which were things that pertain to God and to our church. I did it well, I thought, but in areas where there were areas where something was missing or maybe not as good as the last time I had done it, and I was okay with that. I was okay as long as it was okay. Finishing became more important than finishing strong. I saw areas where I accepted less than I should have, gave less than I should have. And in those areas, I allowed the routine and the status quo to be good enough. I can't tell anybody else's testimony, but I'm sure that there are some who have already connected. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When I began to repent for not pursuing excellence in everything, God then began to show me that excellence was not what he was requiring of me, at least not the way that I was seeing excellence. God has only required two things of us. We know that the whole purpose of man, as has been summarized in the Westminster Catechism, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But the specificity of our daily lives, how does that play out? I believe that God has told us to do simply two things. God has told us to do everything his way and to be faithful. All right? To do everything his way and to be faithful. One might even go so far as to say that we are to be faithful in doing things God's way. To be clear, God has a way for everything. He has an order to life and every aspect of it. When it is followed, we experience now the preset blessings and benefits that are attached automatically to doing things God's way. When we don't do things God's way, we suffer the natural and even supernatural outcomes. When we are out of order, we get the disorder. Many times the confusion, the chaos, the dis-ease, and the problematic predicaments of our lives would be resolved if we would just go back to getting things in order. We all know how perilous it can be when things are not in order. Think for a moment of how frustrated you get when you have a taste for something. Something like, say, an Oreo McFlurry. So you travel to the nearest Golden Arches, sit in the drive-thru line, get to the microphone to place your order, ask for your ice cream. Your mouth waters with every inch you get closer, only to have those desires dashed on the rocks when the person comes back over the speaker and says those fateful words of doom. Our shake machine is down. Ah, don't you hate it? Aren't you frustrated? Of course, that never happens. Don't have that problem at Burger King, where you can have it your way. It is the frustration of things being out of order. It robs us of the joy. It robs us of potential. It robs us of purpose. So we need, we desire, we want things to be in order. Well, what is order? Order is defined in part as the arrangement or disposition of people or things in relation to each other according to a particular sequence, pattern, or method. It's also, order now, is defined as the quality, nature, or importance of a thing. Did you catch that? I want to give you a definition that we're going to use. It's going to be our working platform as we talk through restoring God's order. And it's a combination of those things that I just shared from Webster's Dictionary, but also with this addendum. Order is the God-prescribed quality, nature, and arrangement of people and things to bring about the God-designed outcome. I'll run that back for you again because I hope you are taking notes. Here it is. Order is the God-prescribed quality, nature, and arrangement of people and things to bring about the God-designed outcome. There is no outcome or goal or end that God does not already have a preset order for it. As a matter of fact, God's order automatically sets a prescribed outcome or a designed outcome when it is not followed. As a matter of fact, I think that sometimes one of the reasons why we get things out of order is because we think that we have an outcome better for us than what God has for us. But that's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Adam and Eve learned that in Genesis. There is no outcome or goal that you or I can imagine for ourselves that is better than what God has imaged for us. There isn't one. There is nothing you can hope for higher than what God has for you in his plan. There is nothing you can desire that would yield to you a more blessed benefit to your life than what God has for you. So if God has, even as he has spoken numerous times, especially in Jeremiah 29 and 11, where he reminds us that he only thinks thoughts that are good and of peace and not of evil, to bring us an expected, a designed and desired end, outcome, resolve, goal. That's what he has for us. And the only way you and I are going to get to that place is by following his order. Now, the opposite of that would be out of order. Out of order is simply defined as not working properly, not able to be used. The desired goals then are not realized, and you and I are left wanting. You know, again, the frustration of desiring a thing, wanting something, pursuing something, and the frustration of the disorder that disorder rather can bring to your life when something is out of order. Well, God says that for our church and for our lives in particular, there are some things that are out of order. They're not working properly and therefore not able to be used. And because they're not able to be used, because they are out of order, we're not getting the outcome that we desire. We're not getting the results that we desire. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You won't get the outcome if you don't have the order. And God desires order. God desires order and peace and holiness in every aspect of our life, in worship and in our relationships. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 reminds us that everything is to be done decently and in order. This order reflects the order, the constancy, and the character of God. And when we live this way, God is revealed. And when God is revealed, people have hope. I want to talk through a couple of things here as we work over or work around what it means to have the order of God for our lives. Because unfortunately, for too many of us, we have not followed God's order. And not following God's order has left us without the outcome we desire. However, and we're going to learn this, our ability to restore the order will bring about the results we desire. Catch this, if you will. You don't get the outcome you desire if you don't follow the orders. If you don't adhere to the order of God, God's way, his rule, his dominion, his kingdom agenda, if you don't follow that, you will not get the outcome that you desire. It's kind of like baking a cake or building something. There is an order that is required. I just a couple of weeks ago, Lady Kim had a piece of furniture for her that she got to help her do her work a little bit better as she's doing the work from home thing, like many of you are. And I took the task, you know, to put it together for her. We don't need you to send nobody over here to put this together. I can do it. Give me the instructions and I will make it happen. It's like Tim the Two-Man Taylor. That was like a little throwback comment. Maybe you didn't catch that part. Anyway, I was going to do it. So I pulled out my tools. I pulled out all of the pieces of the unit that I was putting together. I sat everything out and I looked at the instructions. And I started following the instructions. I went in order the way the instructions gave it to me. And I was good. Every time I put one piece together, I was satisfied. And then I would move to the next piece in order. And I would put it together and I was satisfied. And then you know what happened? I saw what I thought was the pattern of the process. And because I saw what I thought was the pattern of the process, I started to do it the way I believed it was going to be prescribed. Catch it. I started moving now in a way according to my own wisdom. My own smarts. I said, well, oh, I see what this is supposed to be. I did the left side this way, but I can do now the right side this way, and I'm going to end up where we need to be. And wouldn't you know it, I abandoned the order. And when you abandon the order, like me and that piece of furniture, you abort the outcome. Yes. And here's the trip. Here's the trip. When you abandon the order, you abort the outcome. When I aborted the outcome, the only way for me to get it right was to go back and do it in order. Somebody really needs to lean in, because I believe God has already spoken everything you need to hear from me on today. If you abandon the order, you abort the outcome. And when you abort the outcome, you have to rewind, reverse course, and do it again. Some of you, hear me by the Spirit of God, have been trying to figure out ways to pick up where you are and make it right going forward. In some areas, that's possible. But in a lot of areas, the only way you're going to get the outcome you desire, the outcome that God has designed, is for you to go back and do it according to the order that was established. God is a God of order. He is not just a God of outcomes. The problem with a lot of us is we look to God for outcomes. We look to God for miracles. We look to God for things to work right. And when it doesn't work right, we pray for God to effect outcomes. When what God wants to do is get us to understand that a lot of the outcomes we desire, we don't need a miracle for. The outcomes that we desire, we don't even need to pray about. A lot of the outcomes we desire, you don't need a Bible study for. The outcome you desire can, in many cases, if not most, be achieved by you and I simply going back and following the order. God is more a God of order than he is a God of outcomes. The outcomes that God gives to us are the results of the order that he has established and set for our lives. All right, now let me back up and see if I can't get a piece of this more to you. Understand something, that I believe that God has given to us, given to his people, an order for everything, all right? And I believe that order came to us originally in the beginning. Rather than only describing creation from nothing, I believe Genesis chapter 1 also describes the careful ordering of creation and all of its different elements, so that not only would they be able to work together to bring about the future that God intended, but so that you and I would be able to see the pattern, the order, the certainty of doing things God's way. So we're going to slow down and we're going to back up and take a look at God's order even in creation, and how this affects our lives. In Genesis chapter 1, the stage has been set, and most of us know it well. Excuse me. God is in existence as eternity. He is eternal. He exists before there is time, before there is space, before there is matter. There just was God. And God, for his own purposes, creates ex nihilo, out of nothing. He creates out of nothing with one distinct goal: to show his godness, to display his glory. That's why he creates. You don't need another reason than that as to why God created. He created because he is God. And as a sovereign, self-existent being, he has the wherewithal, the prerogative, if you will, to do as he pleases. And it pleased him to display his creative glory for his own purposes. And so he creates. And because there was nothing else to work with, he creates from nothing. When God creates from nothing, he actually does it in such a way that helps us to understand how it is that our lives should work, even if we're creating from something, as opposed to God creating from nothing. Watch what he does. In verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, God says, "Let there be light." Did you see it? It's simple. You know it already. It's the first of some 9 things that God says in Genesis chapter 1. And the first thing that he says is the call for light. God calls for light. And I am suggesting to you that this thing that he calls for is the first step to proper order for our lives, even as it was in all of creation. He calls for illumination. How do you bring order to your life? You turn the light on. Step number 1, you need light. Are you taking notes? I hope that you are. You need light. Light becomes for us the first step to proper order for our lives. Light, illumination, it is revelation. Understand something, if you will. There is no order where there is no light. Oh God, I just heard another word for myself. There is no order where there is no light. Any person desiring to have order cannot do so blindly. You cannot have order in the dark. You cannot have order. You cannot have achievement. You cannot have proper attainment without light. Light is the source required for proper vision. Hear me when I tell you, vision comes from light. I don't have time to break this thing down like I want to. Maybe we'll address some things in Bible study on Tuesday night. But one thing is for certain, you need light. What is that saying? There's any area where you won't allow exposure, revelation, illumination, you cannot bring order to it. You can't bring order to a secret. Excuse me. You can't bring order to a lie. Because lies deal in darkness. You need light in order to address a thing. If I took to cleaning up my bedroom, but I went in and I tried to clean it up with the lights off, there are things that are going to be missed because I can't see it. There are things that are going to actually bring harm to me if I'm trying to maneuver where there is darkness. You need light. You need light in order to bring you to a place of order and achievement and attainment. Because understand something now, and this is going to be simple, but I got to give it to you. If you can't see, you can't see. Is that too simple? Or are you scratching your head thinking to yourself, I'm confused. If you can't see, you can't see. If you can't see physically, then you don't know what needs to be moved. You can't see possibility. You cannot see potential. Some of the reason that some of us lack purpose is because we lack light. We lack revelation. We lack illumination. We lack the searchlight being shown on us in our lives so that we can see what we need to see so that we can move how it needs to move. In that same exact example that I use of cleaning my bedroom, I'm kind of pointing in the direction of my bedroom. That's funny to me. And when I want to clean my bedroom, I got to cut the light on. And when I cut the light on, I can see. And when I see not only what is, but what should be. And when I see what should be, I now, because I've got light, can put things in or, oh, my shoes are not where they are supposed to be. The bed needs to be made. I left this shirt out of the closet. I can see it, so I can see it. And once I see it, then I can put into practice the things or put into place the things that are out of order. Stop trying to bring order to an area you want to keep in the dark. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's one of the reasons, why we need people who hold us accountable in many areas of our lives. Because when we have people who hold us accountable, you know what happens? They keep the light on us. That's what accountability really means. It means that we can't do it in secret. We can't do it in the dark. When I have someone who holds me accountable, I have someone who basically sits there with the light over me to ensure that I don't shrink into the darkness or shirk backwards out of the area of responsibility that's before me. I need light. And so God says that if you're going to bring order to your life, turn the light on. Would you just high five your neighbor digitally, however you need to do it, and tell them, turn the light on. But that's just one thing. There's 7 days in creation, might I remind you. I'm going to give you the second thing. All right? I'll give you the second thing. Second thing you find now starts in verse number 6. Watch the text. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. God, after he turns the light on, he sees that the second thing that's necessary are boundaries. Catch this, if you will. Space and separation. Boundaries. Space and separation by boundary. Here's what God literally does on day two. He says, I'm going to separate the waters and I'm going to create a boundary for what is to be heaven and a boundary for what is to be earth. And I'm going to put something in the middle to ensure. I'm going to put a border, a boundary line called sky in order to ensure the separation between the two. You and I need boundaries. Now, I won't spend too much time on this one. I'm already over the time that I normally allot for the for these digital services or these virtual services. But let me push a little bit further. One of the things that we've already learned is the necessity of boundaries, or the buzzword a couple of months ago was limits. Why do we need these boundaries? Why do we need these limits? Because this is the way we ensure that whatever we desire to do or be or attain is done in the safest, most expedient, most enjoyable manner without sacrificing the safety, the expediency, and the enjoyment. I know you had hoped that you wouldn't see that again. I know you did. You thought maybe that pastor was past all of these limits. Nope, not past it, because your life in many ways is out of order because you don't have space and separation. You don't observe proper boundaries. Can I just show you one instance of the necessity of boundaries for your life? You already know the story, right? So you know in creation, birds and fish are coming later, right? Yes, you know that. Nod your head. Yes, you already know that. Birds and fish are coming later. Okay, watch this. If there are no boundaries, then the birds and the fish would try to occupy the same space. But you know that that's not going to work, because what the bird needs and what the fish needs are two different things. And if you got them in the same space without a proper boundary, then you will kill them both. Because the bird might be able to dip into the water and emerge, but he can't live in the water. The fish might be able to jump out of the water and taste the air, but it can't live outside of the water. You need the boundaries set in place beforehand so that the other things that will occupy your life are not crowding the same space, a space that would suffocate their existence if there were no boundaries. Yeah. See, some of us, we're so accustomed to crossing boundaries, so accustomed to living outside of limits that it's become a real natural part. Are you mad at me? I'm doing the best I can, baby. I'm doing the best I can. I'm really trying to help the people of God, I promise. Thank you, baby. I needed that. I can't hear them. I needed that encouragement. Hear me when I tell you that some of us have made it a habit of blurred boundaries. My mouth doesn't want to say blurred. Blurred boundaries. We made it a habit. Think for a moment about your bank account. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a second. Think about it. Notice something. Your bank account, in most instances, is set up at a minimum with two different accounts. You have a checking and a savings. Where's Kevin Hart when I need him? See the way money works. I got a checking and a savings. Okay, all right. Now, here's what happens. The checking is normally for the day-to-day operation of your life. The financial obligations required to run your life are generally withdrawn from the checking account. The checking account is set in such a way that it's prepared for multiple transactions. All right. The savings account, on the other hand, is intended to allow you a platform to move money away from the constant activity of financial obligation needed to run your day-to-day life, and to allow you that platform to separate funds, to stack funds for the purpose of having a nest egg, some kind of safety net, if you will, in the event that the regular ordering of your life gets out of hand. Then you can, when need, remove from the savings and put into the checkings for such a time as to bring things back to order, and then you put the money back into the savings account. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Well, whenever you take from the savings because you have overdrafted the checking, you pay a fee. Lord have mercy. In other words, it hurts you to constantly withdraw because you couldn't observe the boundary of the balance in your checkbook. I'm just trying to help the people of God. I don't want you to be mad, especially not this month. I do have a hope that you might want to bless the pastor sometime in this month. So I wouldn't do anything or say anything to intentionally upset you. I just want to tell you, you can't possibly think that you're going to have order in your life if you're blurring the boundaries. If you bank on something always catching your shortfall because you won't balance your budget and bring yourself to a place of acknowledging and adhering to boundaries. Right about now, you ought to high-five somebody else or do it as you need and just put boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. I got one more, and then I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done for the day because I got a whole other Sunday, and I just want to give you one more. I'm going to give you three, okay? We've talked about you need light. And you need boundaries, all right? This is what the text is teaching us today in order to have God's order for our lives, all right? Watch number three. It begins in verse number 9, okay? Well, listen to this. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. Uh-huh. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, a lot has happened in these three verses, but quite honestly, there's really one thing that was intended, and it's spoken of in verse number 9. He says, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together in one place so dry ground may appear." The intention of God on day 3 was for dry ground to emerge. Why dry ground? Because dry ground in God's order represents foundations. So you need light, you need boundaries, and you need foundations. The dry ground becomes the solid foundation upon which someone or something can stand. Because without a foundation, nothing can stand. Nothing can be built. Nothing would have a solid surface from which it might be what it was intended to be. I believe that there are so many of us who don't have the proper foundations of our life. And when I talk about foundations,